I've been looking at some aspects of Revelation, taken some parts of the scripture and ruminated on them. But I remind myself now that prayer isn't just saying, Lord, Lord, or the Lord saying, Jim, Jim. We have to be doers of the word, not just hearers and speakers. I mentioned before there was a father who had two sons. He said, go and work in the orchard. One said, yes, 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 and didn't. And the other said, no, 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 and did. God not only speaks, he does. So I'm going to spend a few programs looking at the commandments that I hope you'll find helpful. The Jews, being poets, would have an idea and carry on and on like the Irish. I mean, Irish people, if you said, describe a cat, they'd give you a wonderful picture of the cat. They probably wouldn't reach a main verb, certainly wouldn't reach a full stop. And the same with Mediterranean peoples. Wonderful use of words and images. And the Jews were like that. I mean, how's this? In the book of Genesis, we came to an empty well. There was no water in it. It's priceless. I mean, somebody with a blue pencil would rub out there's no water in it because it's redundant. We came to an empty well. But it's not the same. We came to an empty well. There was no water in it. Our Lady was like that. My soul glorifies the Lord. And she says the same thing again. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. And that was the basis of Hebrew poetry. Utterly beautiful parallelisms. Our Lord was like that. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For he who asks always receives. Hebrew poetry is very, very beautiful. And so when you come to the commandments, I think there are over 600 commandments in the Old Testament, they're all trying to say the same thing. I'm just going to limit myself to the 10 main ones. First one, God says, look, I've loved you with an undivided heart. Do you want to learn to love me in the same way? Yes. Right. Don't marry your fur coat. Inflation will get you, the moths will get it, and the hair will fall out. Some husbands spend more time on their cars than they do on their wives. You get rust, all sorts of things. So what idols do I have? If I'm supposed to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Lord can make himself at home, I hope and pray the high altar is dedicated to the one true God. But I do know I've got side altars dedicated to Jim in various aspects. The trouble is I'm not holy enough to discern what is a genuine shrine to the one true God and what is really a shrine dedicated to me. Only the Lord can cleanse the temple. And it can be very painful. Supposing I was an art collector and I prided myself on my drawing room. I've got a Botticelli and I've got a Rubens and this, that and the other. And when guests come, I'm happy to show them how rich I am, how discerning. And supposing I invited an expert from Sotheby's or Christie's to come and check one of my pictures. Oh, how heartbreaking. He came and said, I'm so sorry, that Botticelli is Madame McCarthy, Worthing Pier, 1936. Oh. It's very painful for the Lord to help us discern what is self-seeking and what is seeking for him. So it's worth our asking, what are my idols in this life? What are those things and people that are stopping me loving God for God's sake? Because to love God for God's sake is the end of quite a process. St. Bernard gave us four routes to loving God. One was to love myself for my sake. You can't carry on until we've done that, to be grateful for one's being. Secondly, to love myself for God's sake. Thirdly, to love God for my sake. And fourthly, just to love God for God's sake. There's a long process of growth and purification there. So let's ask ourselves, honestly, to let God cleanse the temple of egoism and selfishness, self-seeking. Another commandment is, love your mother and your father. Well, some people can't. My father was an alcoholic, and my mother was a very hard woman, very hard to love them. Some people have no mother and father. They were found under the gooseberry bush. It isn't just, do I love my immediate family? It's, do I love my history? If you believe the Big Bang theory, my personal history is 14,000 million years since the Big Bang. That's my history. Within a few milliseconds, I gather, of the Big Bang, lots of things that make up Jim were already existing, various molecules and things. Do I love the grace that's brought me safe thus far? It's a wonderful thing to love history. Many people in the church have problems now because they have no sense of history of the church. They didn't realize how things have developed over time. Am I grateful for the past that's brought me to the present? Do I love my Mother Earth? I've worked for 10 summers with the Native Americans, Lakota in South Dakota. Deeply spiritual, holy people. Perhaps I might share with you about them sometime. Left such friends there. You think what happened to them with the march west of the whites in America, the abuse and the disease. It's outrageous. And it's not surprising that some Americans are very bellicose, because that was how white America was founded. Who gets to the gold first? Shoot them out of the way. I've always been very grateful to America because, as I shall explain, what they did in 1917, what they did in Lend-Lease before they came into the Second World War, the Marshall Plan, extraordinarily generous. But there is a viciousness and climbing over each other in American society. And when I go and see my friends in prison, I'm aware of some of that violence. We have to befriend our history. There's method in God's madness for us to help understand that the past is actually a grace that's brought us safe thus far and that will lead us home. But it's quite difficult to befriend the miserable history some of us may have had. And that's where counselling that I'm involved in and help is to do with reconciliation with the past, so that we can live in the present and not be constantly in pain from what's gone before us. Do I love Mother Earth? Mother Earth has put down a larder of oils and valuable things over the millions of years, and yet some have reached the larder before even others knew there was a larder. And perhaps the arch sin of the world at the moment is this inequality of the world's resources. It's called globalization, of course. In the old days, when you only knew what happened within 20 miles of your own little house, before travel and instant communication throughout the world, you lived in a little world. But now we see the meanness, the abuse internationally all the time. Oh, dear pessimists, try and find the silver linings in the clouds. Do not be cynical. It's God's world, and we're there to do our little bit, to improve it, to love Mother Earth. Gardening is my great hobby. There's still a book to be written on the theology of compost, so that nothing is wasted. God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put us to look after it, not to squander it, but to share the common wealth of Mother Earth, to honour your Mother Earth, and to honour the Father of us all. Next week I look at the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill.